Hey everyone.
Hello? Hello?
So we're still waiting for a few people
Good
to
morning.
join before we get started. Who's the phone caller?
That's me.
Oh.
Do we have everyone on the Sol de Velo side?
Yeah, I think so. Is that right, Nicole?
Yeah, I think we do. Yeah.
Okay, so I think the only person that we're waiting for is Chong Sun, unless Josh, you feel we can just get started? I see someone joining.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but you can probably get started.
Okay, I'm going to start the recording. Or I think, Mary Jo, do you see that the recording has started?
No. Oh, yep, says recording. Yep, sorry.
Okay, good. Okay, so welcome to Sprint 52, 51 showcase. I keep thinking ahead. 51 showcase. So this sprint, we continued to focus on the RC testing for the 3.3 release. And during the sprint, we did have, during this sprint, we did have about 13 bugs that were fixed this sprint. And it seems Team Parrot actually completed 28 and a half story points. There are a couple of tickets that are still in progress. But for this sprint showcase, we'll have a quick overview of the bugs that were worked on in this sprint. And then jump to our performance testing. So, before that, does anyone have any comments on the sprint? No comments. We just want to jump into the showcase.
Yeah, probably there wasn't like anything very exciting about sprint. It was continued regression testing, releases of the release candidates. So testing, and bug fixing. And yeah, we will hear about the bugs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Sam, if this isn't possible, could we navigate to the quality gates and show where we're at with that, or are not prepared, or is that not ready to be shown?
Sorry, I didn't hear you completely.
So sometimes we navigate to seeing, I think it was sonar, and Josh, maybe what else would we show around the quality gates and show that things are passing and there's anything failing? with our automated testing, or are we not going to show that today?
Well, I can show that if
Sure, Sebastian, yeah, could you just quick show that? I would like to make sure that we always pull that up and showcase so we're taking a look.
Okay, so let me share. Can you see it?
Yes.
Okay, so I can see that the stock management UI is currently failing, and other than that, everything is passing. So is anyone looking at the stock management UI or know why it's currently failing? It looks like it's on the test coverage for new code. Well, if we don't know, then Nico, then...
I believe Mateusz was looking into it today.
Yeah, I see that there is a review open for the admin tests. So I think he will add it soon.
Okay, we need to make sure that, that we reach that. The threshold here. Okay. So is there anything else you want to look at before we start showcasing?
No.
Okay, then how about I start us off since I'm already sharing my screen and I don't have that much to showcase anyways. So one bug I want to talk about is the older print PDF not showing the name of the author of the user that has authorized the requisition. And this was for the case when the skip authorization step was enabled. And it turned out, well, we can take a look at the screenshot actually. So this field here authorized by was empty. And the reason was that if we had the skip authorization step enabled, in the past, it wouldn't create a status change for the requisition moving from the submitted to the authorized state, which meant that when this report was trying to pull that data, it just wouldn't find anything. In the requisition status changes, you would just have an entry for initiated, submitted, and then straight off approved. And the way I changed this was to create an entry in the status changes for both submit and authorize. So this kind of matches like what the user sees on the UI. So if the skip authorization step is enabled, the user sees submit and authorize on the button. And so the single click, submit and authorize, is creating two status changes in the audit table for the requisition. Which in the end fixes this problem. So this is about the bug, and I also want to talk about this ticket about recovering requisitions French translations. And it actually isn't only about the requisition UI. This was pretty much about all our UI components and all our services. And so the translations have been restored. So this first acceptance criteria is met, and that was the most important part for the release. We have fixed that by enabling the translation memory on TransFX for all our services and components. The translation memory works that way, that if TransFX finds a translation that is a 100% match, then it actually reassigns that to a new message key and makes that translation available. And yeah, turning that on the TransFX fixed the issue with those French translations not being present on TransFX. But we are still looking at the root cause for losing those translations. So we still want to figure out why those translations were lost. And yeah, we are still waiting for some response from the TransFX support about this. The first response that they gave us is that it could be caused by message keys that have changed. Particularly, it seemed like there is an escape character added to the dots in message keys. But most likely, it is not the case, or it's not the, the only reason that we have lost them. So there is this huge reasoning here, and some of my thoughts. So yeah, at this point we don't know what's the root cause, but we are looking into it. Yeah, and that's from me. Are there any questions about any of those two? Okay, then. Pablo, do you want to continue?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, thanks.
And we don't have to showcase every single bug, but just to make sure we have time for the performance testing conversation, just to flag.
Okay. So I will leave the performance talk for later and go to GPS. So the first part is it's about permissions. When the user tries to update CC functional status for his home facility, he got an error that supervisory node does not exist. The error was caused by the user has a right for editing CC inventory, but even if he has right by home facility, not by supervisory node. That's why the reference data returned null for supervisory node, and this caused the server. So we fixed that by not throwing an error if the supervisory node is null. We simply don't send notification. There is also a follow-up for this ticket about sending notification for users with home facility, because this currently is not working. And also I posted to DevGrab about how to test contract between some service and reference data, because this is the root cause. The contract was not test enough. So you can join the discussion on the forum. So I move to next part, emergency requisition printout doesn't group products by category. This regression was caused by before this was caused by our recent redesign of emergency requisitions. Currently, we are adding products to requisition one by one. They are not added by reference data, but user can add it from the UI. And the problem was that reference data was returning the products that were ordered correctly. But if user pulls the products himself to requisition, the order is how the user was pushing it. So what was missing was order products by category on the requisition side. I think that's it. The next bug was a trivial one. Recently, we added to some endpoints validations for invalid query parameters provided to endpoints, and we forgot about that we still support access token as query parameter. We don't use it anywhere, but we still support it. So if user try to search, for example, order rebus and provide access token not by header but by query param, it should be allowed. So it was fixed. Next ticket was it was a task for adding number of users that are assigned to role in admin UI screen. It was done by Mateusz, and this was not part of 3.3 release. So I will show you that on the test server. Okay, I access some cache.
Can you just click the software is not up to date and updated?
Oh, no, yes. Oh, something wrong here.
Okay, click the
okay, I'm not users, I should go to rules. Okay, so on the role screen, we can see number of users that are associated with a role. Yeah, and nothing special about it. And I can also show you if I, for example, add, for example, stock viewer role to some user, for example, admin. Yeah, did, and now it should be that two users have this role. Yeah, I think it's all about this ticket. Any question for this one?
What happens if I assign the same role to the user twice? Does it still show the same number of users?
I think it should. I mean,
it should.
Let us try it.
If a role's already assigned, it'll give you an error.
I mean, we can assign the same role, like for different programs or supervisor nodes.
Right.
Yeah, it shows it too, so.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay, so and the last ticket was the contract test for, I think, for testing a skip product line item. The test for all these acceptance criteria. So yeah, I think that's it. Do you have any questions for bugs or something?
Nope.
Okay, so I'll stop my screen, sharing my screen, and the task can start.
Okay, thanks for giving me a moment. Yes. This way. Okay, so can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I will present three tickets. The first one is actually Mateusz made a changes. So the problem was that on the receive and physical inventory pages, the user could only select products that have a stock card. We fixed that, and currently user has ability to add any product that is on is as a approved product or in the order level fulfills. And on the other pages like adjustments and issues, a user can only select a product that have a stock card. Should I show this ticket or move on to the next one?
I'm okay with moving on.
Okay. So another bug was that the POD have a line where there's nothing to ship. This was modified, so when the shipment is confirmed and POD is created, if line item in shipment has quantity, shipped quantity equal to zero, this line is skipped and is not available in the POD. And basically that's all. And the last ticket was related with the Jenkins slave. The problem was basically that we had two instances on Amazon, and we have also in the configuration we have capacity only for one instance. So when the Jenkins tries to find out if there is a capacity to create a new new slave node, there was no capacity. In the end, we removed unused instance from Amazon, and currently the slave should work correctly. And basically that's everything from me. I also have a performance metrics, but probably we'll do after the show or bugs. So want to be next. Of course, if there's no any questions.
Okay, so I can go next, probably.
Okay.
This is my screen.
Yep.
Okay, so I have one bug and a couple of contractors. So let's have a look at the bug. So the problem here was that after we submitted a physical inventory with a signature, it was not visible. On stock view. Yeah, so the signature was empty here. Should I go to those steps or can you continue?
Continue.
Okay. So other than that, I only have a bunch of contractors. All of them were related with supervisory nodes. So we had three contract tests for creating, updating, and removing supervisory nodes. So I added all of them. These were really simple contract tests. And we also had two for updating those nodes in existing basic and emergency requisitions. So I also
on the disk. So I think that's all I had. Are there any questions?
Do you have a brief update on where you are with the in progress ticket?
Yes, so I have one ticket that's in review, the one about Jenkins file. And the review is still open. I updated the Jenkins file today, but I don't think there are any outstanding issues with it. So we hopefully will close it soon.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, and we also need to do other services, right? And present from the tech committee.
Yeah.
Okay. Josh, you were saying something?
Yeah, just so you're clear, there's more work to follow on from that. So in this next sprint, I think we're pretty happy with what Jakob's ticket has come up with. Now we have to apply that across the other services.
Okay.
Okay, so who wants to go next?
I can.
Claudia? Okay, yeah. Okay. We lost your share for a second, but it's back.
Okay, so first, what I got is pagination error on administration user screen. It was simple fix with the root cause was page param when we moved to the role user roles. Screen and there was also problem when user clicks a link here because the page was not reloaded, and now it works properly. Next one is contact test for calculate maximum stop quantity. Next one is the Mateusz ticket. Here he added a program column to requisition groups. I can quickly show you. Yeah, here it is. And if you had more than one program, it should display number of programs and program list in a popover like it is on requisition templates. Do you have any questions about this ticket?
No.
Okay, so the last one is about internal application error when we change something in template and click save, and then we want to go back to the same template. And it was also a quick fix because there was a lack of reload, stage reload. And that's it for me, if you don't have any questions. Okay. So, Nikodem.
Yes, so I guess it's my turn. Let me share my screen first. Which one will it be? Okay, can you see it?
Yep.
Okay, so today I only have 3 tickets to showcase. All of them are bugs, so I will go for them real quick. So the first one is a ticket about the edit model not working correctly when we were trying to add a processing period to a processing schedule. So the problem with that was some recent changes to how models worked. The loading model was waiting to be open till all the others were closed. And because of that, we were doing some weird stuff, which make the overflow show on the incorrect z index level. So to fix that, we had to fix that bug in our model service, which was done. And the second part of that bug was that we didn't sorting the processing periods properly on the UI. This was fixed by Łukasz. So yeah, that's it about this one. The second one was about hidden reasons showing on the view proof of delivery screen. It was fixed by simply filtering out those that are not visible and should not be visible. This is actually a Mateusz bug. So yeah, that's it about this one. And the last bug was about inconsistent error behavior on the stock adjustment screen, as well as received and issue. So this bug was fixed by changing how the form, the table form works on those screens. They will now show the errors immediately after the inputs are modified or left. This was done to prevent inconsistency of the error behavior between the grid and the pagination component. Now the screen works the same way as the requisition product grid does. So yeah, I believe that's everything from me, unless there are any questions. Okay, so I will stop sharing my screen. And I believe I was the last one from the Team Parrot side. So should we move to the performance talk, or someone from Team Ill would like to showcase something too?
I think we can move to the performance testing.
Yeah, I agree, unless there's something, Josh, you want to show, but.
Go ahead.
Nothing for me. Okay.
Yes, let's talk about the performance.
So far.
The key conversation.
Yeah. Okay, so I will share screen.
Okay.
So we have included the results on the performance metrics page, as we have been asked to. But maybe before we get to the detailed numbers, Paulo, do you have like any general comments or feelings or specific pain points that you can discover? I think like you were saying that the approach is easily to discover and then it was.
Yeah, so the general performance is better, but I think there is some issues with single approve. Because it showed for the 3.2.1 37 seconds for single approve. And now it shows, it gives us results about 19.
Just a quick question. I'm seeing here, was it that only two people did this today? Is that correct? It was just...
Yeah, I mean, I think we had three, but who is hearing the music? I think Nicole only tested a few of the steps. Yeah.
Were other folks busy today then? Is that, we were really hoping to get a lot of data points on this, and so I'm just trying to understand, you know, the, okay. Well, maybe just two is enough to dialogue, but this might be holding up our release. We might need to stop the, like revert, because we can't release with a slower product. So this is a pretty important conversation to be having. I just wanted to make sure everyone is aware of the severity of, if there's a major issue here, we need to potentially look at.
Okay, so I'm wondering about the approve step. Because all other steps looks like they are better or the same numbers. And I see some for the reference column. I see that get recognition, put recognition took 4 seconds. Now it's about 50 seconds. And I'm wondering why it was that small number for reference, because for other puts, for example, for authorize, it was also 50 seconds. And I think for approve, we sent the same request. Just wondering if these numbers are correct. Yeah, other than that.
So just to make sure I'm hearing you, your question was, are we sure the put numbers for, is this the reference column you said? Is this, can you scroll up to the top? I just want to make sure I'm. So this is the Brandon's 3.2.1. Does anyone have any thoughts about that? Could we have been, clearly, I guess there's always the potential that these numbers were off the first time, but I don't know, Brandon, if you have any comments about that specific step?
Yeah, which step here the question about?
Yeah, this is question about approve step, and I see that put here takes only 4 seconds. And all other puts take about 50 seconds for that same column.
So what Pavel is saying is that this request should really look the same. Like, no matter if you are submitting the requisition or authorizing or approving, we first need to save the requisition, which is the put requisition and ID and the request body. And for some reason, here at the approve step,
It lists that this put requisition endpoint only took 4 seconds, while for most other endpoints it was 10 seconds or above.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm going to just look at that same page and other tests to see if that is like an anomaly in my one piece of data that could be wrong, or if it happened lots of times before that step was faster.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of this particular cycle being an aberration, because I remember looking at all of the 3-2-1 single approves, and they all save or varies from somewhere 3 to 7 seconds. So they all generally hovered around 4 seconds. So it's not this particular run that is unusual for all the 3-2-1s.
So are we saying that putting a requisition really used to take 4 seconds, and now putting a requisition takes 36 or 37? And was that, if that's true, is the difference somehow bandwidth and payload, or is the difference the server response time once the upload has happened?
Do we have any of those timings written down? I don't know if we have them for the reference column. I don't think we do.
I mean, I'm wondering if from what I was seeing in the recent tests, the 330 tests, the puts were taking about 30 seconds, and probably 2/3 of it was just even before it got to the server. And that was the majority of the time. And it seems like from what Soldevella was getting, they were getting this kind of similar numbers here, right?
Yes, for sentence it's about 20 seconds for sentences.
But we don't have that information from 3-2-1.
Yeah, that's right. We don't have that information.
All right. Well, that's what we can do.
What do you mean that's what we can do? I just maybe didn't follow that.
Is there any other discussion? I mean, we're going to have to discuss this later on today, Mary Jo, but I mean, is there anything else to discuss on this dissecting what these numbers mean here?
Well, are there other areas where, so we've clearly identified that the put requisitions is a magnitude slower, because the 3.2.1s, as Chung Sung said, and if you take a look at the previous table, they're hovering around 4 to 7 seconds. Are there other areas?
Question. So the other unknown variable for me is that does it matter which requisition is getting saved before, like which requisition is being approved? Like in our 330 tests, are we approving a requisition that has a lot of line items? And when we were doing 3-2-1, did we happen to be approving kind of a small requisition with a few line items?
I mean, that's a good question, but how would we determine that? We know the data is apples to apples. So how would we figure that out?
Well,
could we write that down?
Yeah, we took notes about that. So like right there on the left-hand side of the screen, the row that says Essential Meds 271 products, Essential Meds 267 products, like we were writing that down by looking as we were in that requisition at how many product line items were in that very one. And historically, we also did a bunch of TB ones that usually had about 15 products in the tuberculosis. So we did write that much down.
Great. Then can we answer, Chung-Sun, can you answer your question?
It doesn't look like it's written down for Sodavelos. It just says Essential Meds. Is it the same 21 products for the Essential Meds you guys did today?
Yeah, it's the same program and the same facility. I think that the product set didn't change, but Pavel,
yeah,
is that right? I mean, that's just about the
numbers are the same.
Okay. So can one of you put that number there?
Yeah, Lucas, can you do it?
Sure.
Well, I mean, do we happen to know? Because I know that when we try to approve different requisitions, like they happen at different periods, and I'm just not sure if they all have the same number of line items, even though the program has, you know, the program is set up for 270 products or so.
Yeah, I think when, at least when I was doing testing on the 321, I was looking at the particular requisition and trying to write down how many products, because I did notice there was some variation like between 267 and 271. And yeah, but on the Soldevelo side, did you look at the kind of pagination on the form to see how many product rows were there?
So, I didn't count exactly the number, but there was, I'm pretty sure the numbers were similar because the page, there were many pages.
I guess it's
I'm looking at
difficult to figure that out, right? We can just go back to the performance test server and check out this program and facility and see how much of them.
Yeah. So,
like in the requisition, not in the like products.
Yeah, so I open my requisition and there are 271 products.
Yeah, okay. I'm opening these requisitions. And, you know, not the ones that have been tested, obviously, but the most I've seen in any of these is 149. So these are fewer products, fewer line items than 240.
Yeah, so it does seem like different requisitions have different amount of line items. And so maybe, you know,
well, different, but not more than.
Yeah, I mean, not more than 271, but I'm just saying, like, if for the 321 test, if we happen to save a small requisition that only has, like, 30, but then in our 330 tests, we've been saving stuff that has, like, 140. Like, I'm just wondering if that could also be explaining the discrepancy.
Well, I thought Brandon just said that he took that the one he did it was 270. I just ran into one that's 271. Am I incorrect in what I heard?
No, for me at least, yeah, when I was doing them, I was looking at the pagination on the bottom. When I'm looking at a requisition, looking at the pagination to see how many product rows are truly in that. And writing that down.
Yeah, so, and you wrote down 200-something.
Yep.
Okay, so Chengsheng, I'm not sure that we're seeing anything more than 200 something. So does that alleviate your concern?
Yeah, I mean, I guess as long as the 321s were at about 270, then it shouldn't matter.
I've just clicked through two full pages, and I've ran into a couple that are in the 200s, and most are in the 30s to 70s. That's not conclusive data, but it's a fair point. We should have been writing this down, but don't think we have a high risk here.
Are there any other areas? I just want to make sure. I know we've been focusing on the one put with approve, but I just want to make sure, Sildovello, when you went through, were there any other areas that looked a lot slower? And also, could you let us know which systems you were using? Like, were you on what type of machines and what operating systems?
So I was using Windows 10 and Windows 8. I think I will let Lucas now talk because he has also some other observations. So I think he can share the screen now.
Sure. Okay. So I checked performance on Windows 8.1 and also those tests was after performance test redeploy. That's why maybe some times like initiating a requisition took about 2 minutes. Because from what I saw when Pavel executed the test, there was only 1 minute. So maybe there's something. Unfortunately, I don't have a similar for the sync requisition, because on my machine it was about 3 minutes. From what I see on the 3.2.1 version, there was only 60 seconds. That's also maybe because this was a cold startup of server. That's why the time is so slow. For other tasks/endpoints, I did not notice any slow. Too much. Hello, are you there?
I'm there.
I was on mute. Lukasz, you were saying, so most of, just to summarize so I got it right, most of what you were saying is the ones that were slow seems to be related to a cold start. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that was the reason.
Yeah, I mean, sure, this column sure looks like it.
Right, it's very unfortunate that we don't have more data, because this is not a good story right now, by any means,
What do you mean by that, Mary Jo?
So, like, what we took down, you know, I hear that you're saying that it's a cold start, but if someone was looking at this who hadn't participated in this dialogue and saw, oh, a person ran this and is getting 2 minutes now, and we have also Chengsheng's from yesterday, so we right now have three run-throughs for 3.3, and so the numbers, we know we have an issue or a degradation in the approve, but now also it's showing longer times here. So it's just, I'm trying to think about.
Yeah, so your overall comment though is not about the raw data. It's about, we have, Sildovello was able to do three more tests, but of those three tests, one of them is clearly an outlier.
They only did two. Nicodem only did the application startup. So we really only have two.
I see.
Which leaves us only with three total. And even that, Pavel's looks pretty late or slower as well, even though it's not as slow, of course, but with the 2 minute one, it was over a minute.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, we got what we got, so we can take it from here today.
Yeah. Yep.
Does anyone on Soldevello side, I mean, what do you think about this testing?
Pavel, Lukasz, any thoughts? Well, it looks like to me that the approach is indeed slower, like there is a noticeable difference here. I think for those other steps, we may be a little slower or a little faster in some areas, but I don't think that this difference is really noticeable here. I also think that we can still run some tests just for approve today. Maybe Nicodem, you can, you know, just execute those approve tests here, and maybe I can run one for approve as well. So we have more data to compare to.
That would be super helpful. I know I would find that super helpful.
Yes, I think that'd be great. And also if people have ideas of what's happening or thoughts, I think it would be really useful to share with the group of what you've noticed.
I'm curious. Sorry, go ahead, Jensen.
The batch approve section says something about not able to do it. It's a little bit up. Right there. No option to select several requisitions. Is that true? I thought I had set up perf test to allow that.
Looks like not.
Jungsung, would that have stayed if the application was restarted?
Yeah, I had changed the deployment configuration for perf test to use RC3's, use reference UI RC3 version. So it should have been there.
I'm looking at it right now. I don't see it.
You mean the perf test configuration?
No, just perf test. I don't see it. Logged in as DHITEL, requisitions approved. It's not there.
That's funny because it was because I was using it yesterday.
Yeah. I did restart it. You know, I restarted the server as we talked about. So there could be that, maybe a different restart. Does anyone have any other ideas? Did we do anything funny to the server?
Looks like from the logs that Lukasz is showing, it's pulling the stable release and not the RC.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
So,
Sebastian, can you repeat?
Both the Jenkins logs and the deployment configuration that you can see on the screen sharing, it's using the stable release and not the RC3.
Oh, yes. I guess it must have gotten changed somehow because I had put it on RC3. But that's why we can't test batch approve on perf test right now.
Okay. Well, that's also good to know. I guess we could, unless we could fix that, you guys are head to home, so unless we could fix that before then, I'm not sure you're committing to that. But we could test that again here. The problem that we have is we don't have as many Windows machines, but we could probably drum up one or two. I didn't have any other thoughts.
Yeah, it sounds fine.
All right. Well.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
you know what? Sorry, I was going to say for the single batch approve, I'm curious. Not curious. That's not the right word. But I'm seeing the put for 20 seconds again, and I guess this is just a comment. It's really not anything to say about this. But I had a Windows machine that did something very different. It did not have that 20 seconds in it. So I'm going to try to get that machine again and see why there's a difference. Because that machine now becomes the outlier in this entire data set. Anyways, no real knowledge there other than a random comment.
Yeah, and I just think in general, so Sebastian, you mentioned that you guys would be able to do a little bit more testing around here. What we were really hoping to get, and as you can tell, we're not really understanding what's going on. So the more data, so the more different machines of doing this testing would really help us figure out, do we really have a problem somewhere and do we hold up the release to fix it? Or is it that we have an anomaly in our data and it's really not that much slower? So we're really just trying to collect data so we can make some decisions because, you know, it's been a really long process to get this release out. We would really like to release, but at the same time, we can't have a major degradation in performance. And so we want to be really sure that that's there and understand why it's there. So that's kind of why we're doing all of this. And we just want to make sure that that's kind of understood by the team. Is there any questions with that? Or if anyone has other suggestions or thoughts, we would, you know, I welcome them.
No, I think that sounds fine. And yes, we will try to get some more data, especially, well, primarily for those approved. That seem to be slower. So yeah, we can get the data, and I think that all those three executions on our side were on the Windows system. I think we can also get some testing on our Linux systems. And yeah, possibly also look for causes of the approve being slower after 3.2.1. And yeah, we will update with the findings and additional data once we have it.
Josh and Chungsung, are there certain pieces of information when we test on different machines and operating systems that we should be noting, or is just Windows the operating system? Do you want any other pieces of information, or is that enough?
Well, we said, yeah, we up in the instructions, it does say to use the latest Chrome. So I'm presuming that we followed those. For the operating system, it'd be good information, but I'm also presuming that there's so much variability here between what we'd actually find in the field and what we could actually test with that it'd be good to write down. It'd be nice to have, but it's not something that's super reproducible or explorable. So it'd be nice to have, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll keep you all posted of what, you know, well, you'll keep us posted and we'll keep you posted, I guess. And we'll see what we do.
Yeah, and it looks like I thought I had changed reference UI on perf test, but I didn't push the code changes, so that's probably why when we redeployed it didn't
actually.
Whoops! So I pushed it now, so when we redeploy perf test, It should have batch. Cool.
What's a good time for that? I know Sebastian and all, you're going to be doing some testing, so we shouldn't do it right now. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, either right now, if we still want to test the batch approve, or if we just focus on the approve, then once we are done testing approve.
Doesn't it? I mean, it takes a while for it to restart and get stabilized. So we don't have those cold start, you know, one-offs. Batch approve would be nice, but I'd rather get data points from you today from single approve. So what would work best for that?
I think if we focus, I think focusing on single approve is probably better than waiting for the server to restart for batch approve.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Perfect.
Okay, so is that all for showcase then? Guessing.
Was there going to be any discussion about like sprints for like Ona or anything, or is that later?
Yeah, I wanted to maybe make a couple comments just about about sort of coming work streams. So the Ona team, people already know, has been doing this reporting stack, and they will be starting to work also on some of the gap features for the gap project, starting with the reporting parts of that project. In any case, they're going to start aligning their sprint cycle more with this one. So at these Wednesday showcase meetings, probably next time in 2 weeks, we will try to get it so that actually they are here giving an update on some of the things they've done as well. And I know in the past, Craig had come and talked a bit about the OpenSRP part of it, but we had never really included reporting here. It was always a different showcase scheduled on Tuesdays in the past. So Sam is helping coordinate a lot of how the sprints are being scheduled more together, and some of the work that is done under the gap work stream will align more with this work. And so at the coming showcase, you'll see that probably in the wiki on, you know, backlog grooming, when we're kind of trying to list out priorities for the different teams in one more comprehensive place. And so that, yeah, I just wanted to kind of mention that people will see some of those changes, and also mention that Sam is facilitating a lot of that, since this is my last week in my current role, and I will step into Jake's role as Jake leaves Village Reach to go work at the Dial Open Source Center at the beginning of May. So he'll be taking a cool new job that helps a lot of open source projects, including OpenLMIS, and I'll be stepping into Jake's job. So Sam will be helping do a lot of the coordination I'd been doing while we try to refill my position, which we do have a job posting up for to try to refill that as well. So those were the highlights I wanted to mention, just so people knew some of those things coming. And if there's ever questions or confusion, please ask in Slack. I mean, I will still be in Slack, or Mary Jo, or Sam, who's coordinating a lot of this. So please feel free, if there's questions now, we can talk more, if other people want to highlight some of these changes. But please, if it's ever confusing, just speak up. Sam, was there anything you wanted to add that people will see different?
Just that I'll be scheduling the next showcase meetings series, and then at least for TML, the other sprint meetings.
Good point. The Zoom link might change for the sprint 2 weeks from now because Sam will be scheduling it. The recurring series that I had scheduled actually ends, and we're using a different Zoom account going forward as well. So that the link and meeting code for 2 weeks from now will be different, as Sam said.
All right. Okay. Sounds like a wrap. We'll all be in touch, and hopefully we can figure out what's going on with this approve put endpoint. Thanks, y'all.
Thanks, all.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, all.